You're with Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
If there is one family that has been really working in overtime during this crisis of COVID, it has to be the Andrews family of Mulgrave. Dad's spending heaps of time at work. He's kept his job, but everything that he does during this crisis will impact on whether he's seen to be any good at it, because his job is actually being Premier of Victoria. Mum, Catherine, has got her own life and her own work. She has to absorb all of his home tasks and keep her family safe, because his job is to make sure you and your family are safe and navigate a path so you can keep your job as well. Catherine Andrews has got kids homeschooling. She's got one in VCE. Do I need any further introduction to this woman behind the man who is politics' answer to Mike Brady? But she's more 99 because she's got the smarts. Welcome, Catherine Andrews, this morning.
Good morning to you, Libby. How are you?
I'm good. Was that not a huge introduction for you?
It was quite long.
It was a bit, wasn't it? I just have got so much to say, because you must have been working overtime, Catherine, apart from your duties as director of Torch, which we'll get to. I mean, you're running the home and the family while this is all going on.
Right, but, you know, to be honest, our family is just like every other family that I know, all of my friends' families. You know, we've got three teenagers at home and we've just got to get on with it. And that doesn't mean that it's perfect. There's fighting about who took my phone charger. It's people opening the fridge 24/7 saying, you just went shopping, where's all the food? What are we having for dinner? You know, it has been a really extraordinary period of time, but for everyone. Mm. And I've got to say, this is not that different to our normal lives. Dan's always working. The difference for us is that he's been home, because he's been working from home a lot more, and we've been able, it's quite novel, to sit down and have a family meal. It's actually been, I know most people probably don't think that's extraordinary, but for us, in the last 20 years, he's been home more in the last 8 weeks for a meal at dinner time than he has over that 20-year period. So we've been sitting around telling stories that might have come out sooner, but now they're coming out now because we are all together. So that's actually been a real silver lining.
That's extraordinary. I did not expect you to say that.
Well, that's the fact of it. I mean, he's been helping me occasionally prep dinner, cook dinner.
Why? What's his signature go-to meal?
Well, he loves to cook a bit of a spaghetti puttanesca, but he's been branching out with whatever I'm making. I'll be like, come and peel the potatoes. He doesn't mind a bit of mash to go with the sausages. You know, there was a post of him taking the final tuna patty out of the pan, which set people, you know, off. Oh, poor man's only cooking one tuna patty, but he was taking the last one out of the pan. You know, it's actually been really nice. So we sit down at the dinner table. We've removed all of the washing that should be folded or is, you know, folded in piles ready to go upstairs to the bedrooms.
Do you have that too? Do you have washing on the...
That's what everybody uses their dining table for, isn't it?
It's true.
It's a folding table.
And the piano stool.
The washing's been removed and, every night we sit down and have dinner. It's actually really lovely.
It's interesting, isn't it, for families being at home together. It has been almost the unexpected and unintended consequence of all of this, in that we've had to actually just stop and make bangers and mash and eat dinner together.
Right, and seeing families, you know, go to the bike shop, buy five bikes and hit the trails. And the streets are full of families walking together, you know, being together. And it's actually really lovely. You know, I live in a suburb that has a real mix of older people and younger people from all over the world, mostly migrated here after the Second World War. And people are out in the streets. People are moving around, getting their, you know, hour of exercise, and it's nice. It's sort of, it's taking people back, I think, to a quieter time.
But just before we move on to your work with Torch, even though it seems very Brady Bunch-esque at your place with Dad home, as he is the architect of all of our future, there would have to be a level of stress because he wouldn't be getting up at 7:30 and going to bed at 9. Like, there would be longer hours and a greater deal of responsibility. Apart from all the normal management, there's this extra thing.
Right, and his phone is always attached to his ear. He has a number of devices that he has to be on for all the time. He hasn't had a lot of sleep over the past, you know, significant couple of months. It's been a long and worrying period in our lives. And, of course, there's a huge responsibility for him to make the right decisions because it's not just about the regular things of politics, but it's life and death. And I think that it was a really fortunate thing that he was the health minister for 8 years because he understands epidemiology and he understands the health system and he understands that what needs to happen in a crisis. So from that point of view, that was really lucky. He did have that experience. He has had more than one crisis this year. Of course, we've just had the bushfires. So it's been a huge year for him and of course for our family, but more broadly for everybody, all of humanity. So, I'm not underplaying it. He does get very tired, but he is well looked after and he's much loved.
And so on behalf of all of our families, we thank your family.
Well, there's no need to do that. That's his job. And, he doesn't take it for granted. And,
Well, thank you, Catherine. I mean, you're looking after him, so that's good. I mean, I think everyone would think that regardless of the reaction to the decisions, they're all good decisions and measured decisions.
Well, yeah, look, that's right. And my job is to look after him, and I couldn't think of a better human to look after.
Catherine, well, you're also looking after other people. As part of your tenure as Premier's wife, you get to be involved in really interesting charities. I know that you've chosen the Stella Prize, which is women's literature, as one major thing you're involved in. But the other is Torch, which is quite a fascinating initiative given that there is a disproportionate number of Indigenous Australians who are in custody in prison as compared to the rest of the country. And Torch is an initiative that tries to give them some self-sufficiency through connecting them to identity and art.
Right. So about 5.5 years ago, Jeff Kennett asked me if I would come on to a newly formed board of the Torch, and I met the CEO, Kent Morris, at that time, and it was impossible to say no. It was an incredible... Kent Morris is an incredible Indigenous man, and he had this incredible vision that he'd been working on it for some time. The Torch, in its current incantation, hasn't just been always like that. It has been around for a number of years. But the Torch at the moment provides art and cultural and arts vocational support for Indigenous offenders and ex-offenders. And what that means is that our arts officers go into the prison system, and there are 15 prisons across Victoria, and we engage with Indigenous prisoners if they would like to talk to us, and we share information booklets that we have created about different groups across the country. And we give people the opportunity to connect to their stories and their cultural heritage. And then through art, we're giving hope and a way out. And it's a really incredible and life... For me, it's a life-changing organisation to be part of. But I also know that the people who are involved in the program, in prisons and in a post-release way, that they feel like this is life-changing for them as well.
Well, that's what Kent said when I spoke with him a couple of years ago with Torch, that a sense of identity sometimes is the road back onto the, not necessarily straight and narrow, but straight and broad, because once connected through country and family with art, our Indigenous friends feel like they have a place and they have a story to tell and they can discover themselves and feel more comfortable in this assimilated society.
Right, and the fact is that so much of this art that is being created, some of these people have never picked up. Some of our Indigenous friends have never picked up a paintbrush before. And yet when they do, and when they start to find themselves and a sense of themselves, they are starting to create the most magical and powerful artwork. And if you, you know, when you look at the exhibition, you can't believe that some of these people aren't, you know, professional artists going back decades.
Mm.
You know, this is an extraordinary and wonderful output of truth, of their soul, who they are as people. And when you find yourself as a person, it helps you to settle and to reintegrate, and it's working, and it's wonderful.
So Torch is a not-for-profit organisation, and this exhibition, it's called Confined 11, and it's online. It's a virtual art exhibition and sale, and you can jump online, go to thetorch.org.au, and it will take you through to the gallery, or you can go straight to Confined 11, and you can buy this art and help support people and follow through this vision that Catherine is involved in, which is really quite magnificent, the Torch. It truly is. And the art is just beautiful. So thank you, Catherine, for being involved with that. I need to ask you just a couple of things about your house. I really do need to know this. Now, firstly, in terms of the regulations, I've been in trouble this week with the group of mums that I'm involved in, re-sleepovers. Are sleepovers allowed? And do your children pressure you for sleepovers?
No, they don't ask me about sleepovers yet, because they know that, you know, their dad sets the rules, and it's not a good idea to break those rules, because we're not over this yet. We can't go back to normal just yet, because if we don't beat this thing, it's going to be a hell of a lot worse. Look, I have to say, a week ago on Saturday night, my best friend in New York turned 50. So we Zoom called her for her 50th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the suburbs of New York, and it is dire over there, as everybody knows.
Dire.
I think people don't realise that we can't just go back to normal. Things need to, we do need to lift these restrictions carefully and be sensible about it. And that would be my advice. Be sensible about it. When your children have sleepovers, they're obviously having, they're mixing with a lot of other people, and how does that impact everything? I think that you've just got to be really sensible and practical about your approach to these things.
And not sort of run the gamut.
Well, don't risk it. We've worked really hard. We've all been
I think
in
that might be the that might be the confusing bit. It's like we've sort of dodged a bullet, and people are possibly a little complacent and think it's not going to happen here, but I think that's the thing we don't understand about the virus, is it's so virulent and it's so contagious. Who knows if it could just take off?
Right, and there's a very real risk of that. I mean, it is really what keeps Daniel awake at night and keeps him working till all hours of the morning.
He really,
we've figured out what we can do up to this point, but we have to keep figuring it out.
Catherine Andrews, director of Torch, which has got an amazing exhibition. Go on to thetorch.org.au to have a look at that. Mother and partner and wife of Premier Daniel Andrews, thank you for joining us on the radio this morning.
Thanks, Libby.